Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, do you have your Bibles this evening? Amen. Once again, let me ask you, do you have your Bibles this evening? Praise God. I want to tell y'all something. And don't you ever forget it. Your Bible is important. You hear me? Your Bible is important. Amen. So hold on to your Bible. Hold on to the Word of God. And don't ever move away from it. Stay with it. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together this evening. Thank you, Father, for everyone that has gathered here in this place. And Father, we've gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, for everyone that is viewing the live stream. I thank you. And Father, I pray that they will have ears to hear and have a heart to receive your word. Hallelujah. Ears to hear and a heart to receive. Because if they hear it, they receive it by faith, it will work in their lives and things will change. Glory to your name. So, Father, I thank you for that. Thank you now for your anointing upon me to minister your word. And it's upon that anointing that I'm resting in right now. And, Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. I have a subject and something that I want to minister to you this evening. But I want to go somewhere else first. And I just feel prompted of the Lord to read a few verses to you. So I want you right now anyway to turn to the Gospel of Matthew's Gospel, the 8th chapter. Matthew's Gospel, the 8th chapter. And I want you to drop down to the 14th verse, Matthew 8:14. And it says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served them. Is it okay if I read those two verses again? Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother. In other words, it was Peter's mother-in-law. Saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he being Jesus, touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and did what? And she arose and served them. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to read beyond this, but I want to say something to you. First of all, I want to establish from the Word of God that God is still in the healing business today. Amen. God is still in the healing business today. Amen. God still works miracles today. And when I say today, I'm talking about in the time that we live. Amen. In our time. God is still healing. God is still working miracles. Hallelujah. But what he is looking for is people that will believe him. People that will believe what the Bible says concerning healing and everything else it says. Amen. God is looking for people that will believe him, believe his word. But now I want you to notice something before we move on. It says that Peter's mother-in-law was sick. She had a fever. And it says that Jesus touched her hand and the fever left. But here's a point that I want to bring out to you, and again, this I had no intention of going in this direction, but this was on my heart, so I'll stay with it as long as I need to, then we'll move on beyond that. But I think this is important. When God speaks to me about something like this, somebody needs to hear it. Listen to me. Somebody really, really needs to hear it. Amen. It may be in this sanctuary, or it may be someone viewing the live stream. Somebody needs to hear it. Jesus touched her. The fever left. When the fever left, what did she do? Whoa. Okay, you're right. But the first thing she did, she arose. The fever left her, and she arose. And then the next thing she did after she arose, she served. Hallelujah. She served. Now, I want you to understand something. The Bible tells us that by Jesus' stripes, we were healed, right? In Peter. It says, by his stripes, we were healed. So now, if you are bedridden, number one, once you are healed, you're touched by him, you're supposed to get up. Not just lay there in the bed and say, well, you know, once I was sick, but now I am well. But you're still laying around. When Jesus healed this woman, he expected her to get up. He expected her to get up. Notice the Bible didn't say he touched her and the fever left her and she continued to lay there and said, the fever is gone. My temperature is now normal. but I wonder if I should get up. Or should I just lay here? No, she didn't do that. She arose. And the second thing she did was she served. Am I right? She served. She ministered to them, which simply means she served them. And she arose and served them. Now, I want to say this, and we're going to move on. There are two, please listen to me. There are too many people that have their pet sicknesses that they love to stroke every now and then and brag about how sick they are and how the doctor has said this will never, they'll never be able to do this again, they'll never be able to do that again, and so, they use that to get attention. Can I let you in on something? Sickness is not our friend. Disease is not our friend. Now, I know some may disagree with this, but I know what the Bible says, that by his stripes we were healed. Therefore, God didn't put sickness on you to try to teach you something. Let me say that again. God did not put sickness on you to try to teach you something. Can you think about this for a moment? And I think everyone would agree, Christian would agree, that Jesus Christ hung on the cross. I mean, he was crucified on the cross. He died on the cross. And the Bible says that our sins was placed on him. He died for our sins, right? Right? Amen. So now, if he died for our sins, do you think God would scoop up a bucket of sin and come and throw it on you? Would God tempt you to sin? Why wouldn't he do that? Because Jesus took our sins. Jesus took care of the sin problem, didn't he? I mean, that was the problem on this earth. Men were, and mankind were sinners. They were lost. So now, if Jesus Christ came to redeem us from sin, then why would God use sin to tempt us? He wouldn't. He wouldn't do that because sin is of the devil. So it would be very foolish for us to say, well, you know, man, God, God was tempting me, and God was trying to see how strong spiritually I was, and he sent this good-looking woman, and oops, I fell and messed up, and I fornicated, or adulterated, however you want to say. Now, if somebody told you that right away, you say, oh, whole brother, whole sister, you wrong. God didn't do that. God didn't do that. That person was sent by the devil. It was the devil tempting you, not God. Can I get an amen on that? It was the devil tempting you, not God. Because God does not tempt us to sin. That's right. He does not tempt us to sin. But now, the Bible also tells us that by his stripes, we were healed. Then why would God tempt us with sickness? Why would he test us with sickness? Let me tell you something. I can do more for God well than I can sick. Amen. I can do more for him well, healthy, than I can sick, bedridden. Brothers and sisters, God does not send sickness and disease. Just so he can tempt us. But here's what God wants. Notice what Jesus did to Peter's mother-in-law. He touched her. She got healed. And she rose up to serve. And this is another point we need to remember. When God heals us, when God heals us, we need to get up and serve the Lord. Amen. Notice what it says here. She arose and served who? Them. That means Jesus and his party. She served them. And if God has healed you, you need to get up. If you hadn't done it already, you need to get up and serve the Lord. God does not heal you so that you can serve the devil. God does not heal you so you can serve yourself. He heals you to serve him. Just like he forgave our sins so that we can do what? Serve him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now let me move on. Look at verse 16. Now he touched Peter's mother-in-law, and she arose and served them. And it says in verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. Okay. He cast out the spirits with a word. He didn't put on a show. He spoke the word because he knew who he was. He had authority over the devils. He spoke the word, and they had to go. And look at what else it says in verse 16. And healed what? Who? All who were sick. He healed all who were sick. He healed all who were sick. Can somebody tell me what all means? All means all. All means no one left out. That's what all means. And he healed all who were sick. Hallelujah. Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Whoa, hallelujah. Now, wait a minute. Didn't we just establish that he bore our sins on the cross? Amen? Huh? He bore our sins on the cross? And because he bore our sins on the cross, we can be free from sin. We can become a new creation, new creature in Christ Jesus, because of what he did on the cross. But now we see here in verse 17 that he himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. Now, notice what it does not say. It does not say he bore some of our sicknesses. Well, God is not a respecter of person. God, it doesn't matter your background, your nationality, none of this matters. God loves all of us. No one can say that God loves them better than the next person. God loves us all the same, and his love cannot be measured. Hallelujah. God loves us all, and he is not a respecter of person. He don't have picks. He said, I'm going to bless this one, but I'm not going to bless that one. I love this one, but I hate that one. No. It says he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. All of our sicknesses. All of our sicknesses. All of our sicknesses. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, the next question may be then, if he bore all of our sicknesses, then why am I sick? Well, that could be a number of reasons. You know, I can't tell you why you're sick. But I can tell you what the Word of God says. He bore your sicknesses. Now, sometimes we bring sicknesses on ourselves. You know, if you abuse your body, guess what? Probably going to get sick at some point, because there's only so much the body can handle. Amen. So that means that your body can be healed, but you got to change some things. Amen. Now, you know, you can't eat a whole chicken and a whole cake and a gallon of tea and expect to be healthy. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible says we work together with God. We got to work with Him. Amen. Even when it comes to our salvation, as far as our sins being forgiven, we still got to work with Him. You know, Jesus took our sins upon Himself. But you know, we can still go out and do stuff. We can still go out and do things that are wrong or say things that are wrong. We have got to work with Him, and we've got to make decisions that I'm not going to do this. That was part of my old life, and I'm not going back there anymore. Just because you got saved doesn't mean you can't go back to your old life. If you were an alcoholic or a drug addict or you know, whatever it is that you might have done before you got saved, nothing is stopping you from going back there if you choose to do so. But it would be a bad decision to do it. Jesus sets you free. So we must walk in our freedom. Amen. We must walk it out. We got to walk it out. You still here? So we have to trust God for our health and make sure that we are doing what we should be doing. Hallelujah. Folks, I believe in miracles. Anybody in here other than me believe in miracles? I believe in miracles. Amen. Let me tell you something else. See, we have to work with God. We don't just leave it all up to Him. We got to work with Him. Amen. Financially and materially, we got to work with God. Jesus Himself said, give, and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over with men given to your bosom. But what did He say first? Give. Amen. He said, give, and it would be given back to you. Too many times we just want to leave everything up to God, and we don't want to work with Him. God, You do it all. But no, it doesn't work that way. We have to cooperate with Him. We are laborers together with Him in every area. Hallelujah. But you have to understand, He has given us the Holy Spirit, hadn't He? Yeah. To lead us, to guide us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, Pastor, I'm doing everything that I know to do. Well, good, my brother, good, my sister. Now you trust the Lord. You trust his word. You watch him work on your behalf. Glory to God. Now. Let's go back to verse 17 again, Matthew chapter 8. It says, verse 17, that it, you know, he healed the sick, healed all that were sick, cast out devils. And then verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. But I love this. Listen to me real good. It says that Jesus took our infirmities. What's my infirmities? My weaknesses. My weaknesses. Jesus took my inabilities. That I'm not able to do. He took that for me. No wonder the word of God says, no wonder the word of God says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Hallelujah. Yes, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I'm living proof of that. God knows how to take nothing and make something out of it. Amen. Because he took my infirmities. He took my weaknesses. He took your weaknesses. He took your inabilities. Isn't it good to know that you can fulfill God's will for your life? And it has nothing to do with who your parents are, where you were born, what color you are. Let me tell you this, it has nothing to do with your education. And education is important. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand that. Education is important. But I am here to tell you, when you commit your life to the Lord and understand that Jesus took your infirmities, he took your inabilities, he took your weaknesses, that you couldn't do, he took care of, now you can do it through him and through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, I'll go to my message maybe next time, but I just really felt prompted to share this with you. But those of you that feel weak, helpless, wondering, man, what can I do? How am I going to make it? I'm here to tell you, if you're born again, you know the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God's going to lead you and going to open some doors for you that you could not open yourself. He will lead you to the right place. And let me say it this way. He, as you follow him, he will cause you to be in the right place at the right time. Now, I want to repeat that. He will cause you, as you follow him now, he will cause you to be in the right place at the right time. And we have a problem with the time factor. Lord, when? Lord, when? Lord, when? He will have you in the right place at the right time if you will continue to seek his face, follow him. We have to understand in your eyes, you may be nothing. In your eyes, you may be nothing. But God wants to take you and mold you and shape you and impart some things into you so that you can do what he's called you to do. Amen. That takes time. Everybody say time. That takes time. So, as the Word of God says, be patient and let patience have its perfect work. Hallelujah. Now, let me say this, and I'm getting ready to close. You may go to school or you may not. And if God's leading you to go to school, Bible college, whatever, you know, you follow God. But I am here to tell you that if you're going to serve God and do what God's called you to do, you're going to be schooled. You're going to be educated, even if it's not at some institution. You are still going to be educated because God's going to make sure before he places you or sets you anywhere, you're going to be ready to serve in that capacity. Which means then you will have spent some time with the Lord. You will have spent some time with God-sent mentors into your. You know, God will send people into your life that will bless your life and help you get prepared for what God's wanting to do with you. Glory be to God. But understand, Jesus took our inabilities, he took our weaknesses. But if we'll follow him, all those weaknesses will become strength. And you will be a blessing. And you'll rise up and you'll serve. Let me say that again. You'll rise up and you'll serve. And all of us have been called to do what? Serve. Give God praise, will you? Amen. Now, I know many of you clapped your hands. Just lift your voice and praise Him. Lift your hands and your voice and praise Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.